As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You are born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord. And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, We see, so your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is it that sinned? His parents or this man? A briefer way to phrase this is, whose fault is this? We're all well aware that the world is not right. You don't need to be a theologian, don't need to be someone who prays every day. You can be anyone at all just to recognize that sin is real, that evil is real, that the world is broken. From injury, sickness, disasters, pain, and the sin between all of our friends and even our own hearts that separates us. That something is wrong. That the problem of evil is real. And whose fault is it? We face the problem of evil. We come head to head with it very often. But today, on Laetare Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, there's a deeper question. What about the problem of joy? Whose fault is that? I don't want to skirt aside or just try to dodge the question of why they're suffering. That's very real, and I say that with reverence. But today is Laetare Sunday. Today we rejoice. Some other Sunday, we'll talk about evil and pain and just the difficulty God has let us go through. We'll look to the providence of God, the wisdom of the book of Job, or how Christ himself entered into our suffering on the cross. But today, for the sake of focus, we need an answer to the problem of joy. When we come face to face with a joy we don't deserve, and a joy we can't explain why, whether that's just a beautiful day, whether it's a friend, whether it's just recognizing that we've been given so much. When we come face to face with the reality of joy, just like the problem of evil, the problem of joy demands an answer. And it has to be someone's fault. That some reason we have gifts like this. For some reason we have something that's just so good. For some reason we have everything. Even the gift of faith itself. That everything that comes to us is not just, oh, it's there. Oh, today the sun rose because, of course, it did. Today, I have the gift of faith to believe because I did that myself. Today, I can wake up to a spouse, my children, because, obviously. No, every single thing we have is a gift from the Lord. The blind man. He says himself that no one has ever recovered his sight once blind before. No one has heard this happen. And so every time the blind man opens his eyes, it has to be just a complete gift of gratitude, a complete overjoy for him to recognize, this is crazy, that every time I get to just see this complete gift, and every time this man opens his eyes, he thinks of Jesus. And he just naturally has to thank Jesus, a man that until the very end he hasn't even met yet. Jesus is the light of the world. Just like for us, the sun is the light naturally, that we see everything by the light of the sun. So Jesus is the true light, and we must learn to see everything in his light. That everything is not just something that happens because, of course, it did. That every single gift we have, natural or supernatural, is because it is a gift from the Lord. To put it practically, to put it frankly, it's the gift of gratitude. It's how we learn how to see everything in the light of the Lord. Now, I have a very strong pet peeve when people phrase gratitude as just a mental health gimmick. Fine, it might make us feel better. Okay, sure. But if it's just about, I feel grateful, then we're stopping short and we're doing it wrong, frankly. It's not just about feeling grateful, it's about thanking God. Long before mental health came into the picture of gratitude, which is a good thing, I'm not saying it's bad, it just stops short. Long before that, the saints would look at gratitude and see it as a matter of justice, a matter of duty that we owe to God, that God has given us everything, and we have to thank him. One of the saints, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, goes on to say, ingratitude is the cause, beginning, and origin of all evils and sins. He says, it seems to me that in the light of the divine goodness, that ingratitude is the most abominable of sins, for it is a forgetting of the gracious benefits and blessings received. That to thank God out of all the blessings he gives us, all of them, to fail to do that is to fail to take the first step of justice, take the first step of love. And it's so, so simple. To learn to see everything in the light of God. Two possible spiritual exercises, and they're very, very practical. One, especially for those with children, the best time to thank God is at the end of the day. When we kneel down with the kids to say the nightly prayers, you can pray for certain people, maybe you can read a little bit from the gospel, I don't know. A wonderful thing you could do with your children would just be, all right, what are five things we need to thank God for today? Not just feel grateful for, but what do we need to thank God for? And if we practice by ourselves in a journal, if you want bullet points, or with your kids kneeling down next to the bed, thanking God for five things, the children will grow up to recognize everything is seen in the light of the Lord. That every good thing that has come to me today is because it was a gift from my Father. So first, thanking God for five things at the end of the day. And second, especially more easy for those without children, thanking God after every Mass. It is a beautiful, wonderful tradition that as soon as Mass ends and the priest walks out and the hymn ends, the very first thing we can do is to kneel back down and just say a brief thanksgiving to God. It can be 60 seconds, it can be 30 seconds, it can be 10 seconds, that doesn't matter. It's just a wonderful, wonderful habit that the very first thing I want to do after God has given me everything and has given me his very self in the Eucharist is just real quick savor that and just say, God, thank you for giving me even yourself. Let us practice this week the simple, practical virtue of gratitude, not just for the sake of our own joy, but for the sake of justice to God, for the sake of loving God back, that the Lord will be our light, and he will open our eyes to see that every good thing is from him.